Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back for more Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive, and well, there is plenty to talk about today. We are going to mix it up between local and national sports talk. We got to talk Major League Baseball. Middle of the week, it's Wednesday. We always bring in a great friend of mine, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher. Spent his time in the bigs with the San Francisco Giants, now serving as an analyst. We jump around the bigs. A lot of topics to get into there. Pitching in particular. Mike Soroka of the Atlanta Braves suffered a devastating injury earlier this week. It's a ruptured Achilles. We know he's not going to play this season. I highly doubt we see Soroka next season. But what does it mean for the career of a pitcher? It used to be that Tommy John surgery, remember, that was the death sentence for a career. And medically, we've advanced so much that there are actually scouts that prefer young kids have Tommy John surgery. Ruptured Achilles is not that way. I mean, we've seen it destroy professional careers, especially in the NBA. So a young pitcher like Soroka, what's the road like for him to get back? We're going to talk to Bill Lasky about that. That's coming up a little bit later on in the show. We'll also talk about Sohei Ohtani of the Anaheim Angels. He's done for the year as far as pitching is concerned. Joe Maddon made that apparently clear. So we'll dive into those topics a little bit later on in the show. Also today we are going to talk about the Lunatic Triathlon. It's a big event here in the Castle Country. It's been around for over a decade. And with the pandemic going down, we've said goodbye to a lot of events that we traditionally rely on here in the Castle Country for some fun, right? And the Lunatic Triathlon got so big, we had to have two events, one in Price, one in Helper. That's not the case this year, but it is returning to Price Friday. We're going to talk to Scott Merrill about that. It's coming up on the show today. Now, let's take a look at the national headlines. And the big story, as soon as I woke up this morning, this was breaking news on my phone. UConn becoming the first FBS team to cancel football because of the coronavirus. And I don't know that this is going to be a reoccurring trend. I don't believe it will be. I mean, I could be wrong. I think we're going to try to get a season done. But last month, UConn officially left the American Athletic Conference. And then today announcing it's going to suspend its football program. They went 2-10 last year in the AAC. And not having conference affiliation, it makes it easier to cancel the football season. I mean, again, they're in the same situation as BYU. They're not in the same situation as Notre Dame, where a conference could wrap them up. So you look at everything that's happening with the landscape of college football. Could UConn have scheduled, filled out a season? Yeah, I think they could have. But Randy Edsall, head coach of the program, who's in his second tenure with the team, said he consulted his players before the university made the decision. University said members of the football team will remain enrolled in classes, either virtually or in person, and they would have access to facilities and support services to ensure that they remain on track academically. UConn said that no student-athletes have tested positive for the coronavirus since early July, so we're going on just a little over a month in that regard. But four of the games on UConn's schedule, road games, at Illinois, at Ole Miss, and then home games against Indiana and Maine, were canceled because of scheduling decisions by those teams as the league. Didn't have anything to do with UConn. Games at Virginia and North Carolina were also going to be held in question. And so UConn was dealing with the idea of having to put something together, some semblance of a schedule together. And ultimately, they decided they were just going to cancel the season. Now, I hope this is not the outcome for BYU. I talked about this on the show yesterday. To me, that football program, light years ahead of UConn. It deserves better. BYU football deserves better. I hope we get something for the Cougars relatively soon. And not a great news story, right? Not great news to wake up to, UConn canceling its football season. Let's take a look at the scoreboard because we did have NBA basketball earlier today. The Utah Jazz moved to 2-2 in the Orlando bubble as they topped the Memphis Grizzlies 124-115. This one may have been a little bit more entertaining than it needed to be. Utah trailed by 6 at the end of the first quarter, and then they outscored Memphis by 15 in the second, and then Memphis outscored them by 8 in the third. And it's a one-point game going into the fourth quarter, and that's where the Jazz ultimately outscore Memphis. They had control that fourth quarter throughout. Big win for the Jazz, good win for the Jazz. Bad loss for the Memphis Grizzlies once again. They have yet to win in the bubble in Orlando. The Jazz led by Joe Ingles today. He poured in 25 points. 23 from Mike Conley, 21 from Gobert, 18 from Donovan Mitchell. That's the type of balance that Utah needs. 15 from Royce O'Neal as well. And then off of the bench, Jordan Clarkson, really the only player providing any sort of offensive punch. He scores 14 for the Jazz. But just looking at the way the standings are starting to come together in the West, we know 1 through 7. We know which teams are going to be 1 through 7. We don't know exactly what spot, but we know what 7 squads are going. Memphis's lead after dropping their last 4 games, they're just one above Portland, who seems to be playing their best basketball of the season, not only behind Damian Lillard, but also behind Carmelo Anthony. San Antonio, 29-37. New Orleans at 29-38. Phoenix at 29-39 off of that win yesterday against the Clippers. So it's been solid basketball in the Western Conference. The Jazz now a 4 seed. They're one up on Houston in the win column. The Jazz trailing Denver right now by a game and a half for the 3 spot. And the Jazz are still 2.5 back of the Clippers for the number 2 seed. So that's a look at what happened earlier today. Basketball all day long. In 30 minutes, the Lakers and the Thunder will tip things off. Jazz fans should have an interest in that game just from an Oklahoma City standpoint. The Lakers have already clinched the 1 seed. 6 o'clock tonight, we get Toronto at Orlando. The Brooklyn Nets will take on the Boston Celtics at 7 p.m. That is the nightcap game. Games going on right now, both in the fourth quarter. Philadelphia up on the Washington Wizards, and the Nuggets and Spurs are battling back and forth. It's been a one-point game throughout most of the fourth quarter. That one is reaching the middle of that particular stanza. We'll keep you updated on those games. Major League Baseball, Yankees and the Phillies going toe-to-toe today, and Philly is all over the Yankees right now. They lead 11-3 in the sixth inning. Philadelphia has put together a monstrous sixth inning. It was 6-3 going into the sixth. Now 11-3. The Yankees in danger of losing at home for the very first time this year. The Marlins and Orioles are tied 0-0. That one going into the fourth inning. That's game one of a doubleheader. Still to come tonight, 4 o'clock hour. Mets at Nationals. Red Sox battle the Rays. We get the Pirates hosting the Twins. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, the Yankees and Phillies, game 2 of a doubleheader, 5-10, Blue Jays, Braves, Reds, Indians. 6 o'clock, we'll start with the Cubs and Royals, then we get the Orioles, Marlins, Brewers, White Sox, Giants, Rockies. Nightcap baseball tonight inside the 7 o'clock hour, Astros at the Diamondbacks, the Rangers will take on the A's, we get the Dodgers and Padres, Angels and Mariners as well. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. Local sports recap is coming up. We're going to talk a local event, the Lunatic Triathlon, and we have more Major League Baseball talk coming your way right here on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. A lot of changes throughout the summer, a lot of events that we've kind of maybe even taken for granted. You know, some traditions here in the local area that we expect every year, like the Lunatic Triathlon. This was so popular that a second date was added. So we had a Lunatic Triathlon in Price and then another one in Helper. Well, this year the Helper one has been canceled, and now we are preparing for a different take on the Lunatic Triathlon this Friday in Price. Joining us right now to talk about that, we have event organizer Scott Merrill. And Scott, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jordan.
Definitely, definitely. I know it's different this summer, quite a bit different. You and I were just having a conversation during that last break about guessing wrong. I think all of us have guessed wrong over the last few months.
Yeah, I guessed completely wrong about the best dates I thought to hold the event this year, but didn't know whether we'd be able to have a race or how many people would be able to attend or really the best way to do it. So I'm really glad we're to the point where we can hold some events and maybe a few things in life can return to normal, and that the Tri-City Pool is willing to work with me and open their doors to this event. The health department has been great about giving me some advice and recommendations on safety and concerns. Carbon County Recreation's been great to support and supply things to help put this on. And then people in the community that are willing to keep this going. It's 11th year now to let the triathlon happen again.
That's fantastic. 11 years you've been doing it, and I think every year we talk about how you continue to make it bigger and better. Typically two, as you mentioned, this time only one, but that's okay. It probably is a little sad to drop the Helper Triathlon for a year, though, isn't it?
It would have been nice to have it happen in Helper again, but this year it is just in Price, and this year we weren't able to do the Kids Triathlon or our off-road Maximus course. A big part of that is because we didn't know how to best use the outdoor pool, which has the bubble on it, and getting people in and out of that revolving door, because each person would have had to touch the door, push it to go in and go out, and there would have been all of those points of contact. So given the pandemic that we're living in, we thought it would be best just to use the indoor pool where there wasn't a door like that to go through and really eliminate some points of contact. And so with that, we made the decision to not do a kids triathlon or the off-road like we normally do with the outdoor. So all the swimming will be indoor, and we'll just be having the adult triathlon. But the adult triathlon using the pool, but we'll also still have a 5K and a duathlon, you know, along with that for the people that don't want to swim.
And it seems like the 5K has gotten more and more popular by the year. And is that a fair assessment?
It is. 5K is a great way for people to start out that are just, you know, getting back into exercising or maybe have never done an event before. I hear a rumor that the cross-country team's going to be there trying out a new timing system and running along with us, which is great. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we have a lot of runners there. Hopefully we have a lot of walkers there, too. Just the more people at the start line, the merrier. And so 5K and then the duathlon, those people will start, do a 5K, and then they'll bike the 12 miles and they'll be done. And then the triathlon people will do the 5K, they'll do the 12 miles of the bike, and then they'll swim 300 yards in the pool.
Now, as far as the competition is concerned, that's going to be a little bit different as well. You and I were talking on the phone yesterday. It's basically see if you can beat Scott this year, right?
Right. I realize some people, for starters, we're not timing the event this year. Timing is a big expense of the race, and this year we decided to do the race free. So everyone that wants to participate this year, they can show up and basically sign in using their smartphone. So they don't have to fill out any papers, any forms, anything that way, and worry about using someone else's pens or papers or contact in any sort that way. It's all electronic. And then they don't have to pay anything. And so with that, there's no shirts, there's no finishers medals like people expect every year. And so for the people that are really still looking for something competitive to do, I decided I'm going to participate this year and I'm going to race. And I'm by no means a great triathlete. I'm not very fast. But what I do have is I do still have some lunatic triathlon medals. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring everything that I have and I'm going to offer up medals to anyone that can beat me, which I'm expecting to be at least half the people there or more. And so anyone that can come out and beat my time and race the director to the finish line will still get a medal at the end of the night. And so that's it. If you've got to have something to inspire you to finish the race, then that's got to be it this year. Come beat Scott and have a great time.
Yeah, and typically, when you're doing a triathlon, your biggest competition is yourself, typically, right?
That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's some people there, which I always love seeing these athletes there, especially the ones that come with the really expensive bikes, because I like seeing that. And I like seeing the people that have dedicated the the time and the money and the passion they have to the sport, because it's really inspiring. So as much as I love seeing the people that do it for the first time ever, and maybe they're on a $200 Walmart bike, I love seeing those people do something brand new for the first time. I like seeing the people that have maybe competed in an Ironman before even. Maybe they have a $5,000 bike. I love seeing them show up to events too, because it gives me something to kind of dream about too. Mm-hmm. Seeing both ends of the spectrum is what I love seeing. Just it's fun. And so I hope that we get a little bit of both. The people that are really serious about it and people that are first timers. I hope they all come out.
Well, before we stop talking about the Lunatic Triathlon, give me all of the information that's important. I know you went over just a few moments ago. You're going to register on your phone. It's free. Give me all the details. Once again, Scott, all the important details.
Okay. So anyone looking to participate this Friday night, August 7th, be to the pool, the Price City Desert Way Pool. So 250 East, 500 North here in Price. The area where we're going to set up their transition area is the parking lot just to the east of the pool. So that's where you're going to check in. We're going to start the race promptly at 10 o'clock. You won't need very much time at all to check in electronically, but you will want enough time to set up your bike, to stretch out, to really get ready. So we're going to be there from probably 8 p.m. on, just setting up and getting things ready. So anyone wants to show up between 8 and 9:30, get ready, get everything checked in, and be ready to go right at 10 o'clock. I will have a big clock that I have at the finish line. So really, once that hits 10, I want to be able to start everyone. So even though it's untimed, if we start right at 10 and you cross the finish line at 11:30 on the clock, you'll know right then it took you an hour and a half. Or, you know, a lot of us have smartwatches, or a lot of us just have, you know, stopwatches on our wristwatch or on our phones. You know, we have all that we can kind of time ourselves anyway. Past that, the biggest concern, the biggest comment I get after the races, that people will come up and talk to me and say, "Hey, Scott, we had a lot of fun. It was great." But one thing to think of for next year is this is a pretty poorly lit course. And I say, okay, well, you know, it's at night.
Yeah.
And they say, and you probably could use some better signs. I missed one and I took a wrong turn. And I watch those people, and a lot of the people that tell me this are people that decide to participate without a headlamp or a headlight on their bike. And I'll be the first one to admit that it is really dimly lit, and sometimes the signs don't pop out there at night. So the biggest thing I could say to people is please make sure you bring a headlight to run with and a headlamp or a headlight on your bike. If you have those things, you're not going to miss the turn arrows on the course, and you're not going to miss the debris on the road or the things that cars stir up or kick out. So if you can bring those things and you're not solely dependent on the street lights or the moonlight or anything like that, that's really going to help out. Just everyone make sure you have adequate light, and then it's going to be a really safe course. It's going to be a fun course. I'll still have glow sticks there so that everyone can put those on themselves, their bikes, and have a fun time. But really, I think we're in for some great weather, in for a great night, and hopefully just have a lot of fun.
Again, that's the Lunatic Triathlon taking place this Friday. Scott, before I let you go, let's talk Carbon Rec. Of course, those who know, you have a hand in Carbon Rec, and I know there's a lot of deadlines approaching right now for sports. Anytime we can talk about any sort of sports at all at this point in time, it's a great thing. So the kids, they have an opportunity to get back at it.
Right. We're really grateful that we've got the green light to continue on with our youth sports. Right now, we're looking at the deadlines for tackle football, for flag football, and for youth soccer. So the date to keep in mind for that is going to be August 14th. That's going to be a very firm deadline. We need to hold to that deadline so we can get coaches, so we can build teams, get the appropriate amount of jerseys, get things scheduled, and then get started right at the first part of September. Anyone that's been involved in our fall sports before know that we always have a couple of games that are missed because of fall rains. That way we have enough time to get through the full season and not get too far into October before it just gets cold and windy and miserable for the kids to play. So for soccer and football and for flag football, it's going to be Tuesday, Thursday night games for 4 weeks. So there's going to be a total of 8 games. And then we're going to have youth volleyball comes up as well on Tuesdays and Thursday nights as well. So those are the things that are going on. I think we just finished up women's softball and the girls' fast pitch, and we're just about ready to start up co-ed softball. So
a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot going on. That's great. And again, for more information, you can check out Carbon Rec online or just call them, right?
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Call or pop into the office. So even though a lot of places may not be open for walk-in business, we are. We're ready, so you can still come on up to the office, too.
Well, Scott, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. I know you're a very busy man this week as you prepare for the Lunatic Triathlon, but I'm looking forward to the event on Friday, and as always, thank you so much for stopping by.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to move over to talk Major League Baseball. We'll be joined by Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, when we return.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep to left field. Way, way back. It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Middle of the week, that means it's time for some baseball talk here on Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Farm Studios on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We've reached that 12-13 game mark now in Major League Baseball. It's still fresh, it's still fun, and I still have to remind myself that 53% of the teams will be going to the postseason this year. But nonetheless, it has provided some excellent storylines and topics of conversation. And joining us right now to dive into those topics, we have former big league pitcher Bill Lasky right now with us over the phone. And Bill, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure speaking to you and your audience, too. Baseball is alive. Let's just hope a full schedule finally comes around, especially with all these suspended games. It's just pushing the game back so much more. And now they're going to have seven-inning doubleheaders, which I just shake my head on. I thought that was only done in high school. And now we're seeing it at the major league level. And, you know, the game is shortening enough with the runner on second base in extra innings. Now we're throwing another new rule in. And I just, you know, the 60-game season, sure, it's coming by, and we're not even 2 weeks in it full yet. But at the same time, you know, we are seeing some good baseball. There is some good baseball in the American League as well as the National League. And we let's just hope that the COVID-19 pulls away from some of these teams and they can get healthy.
No question. I'm looking forward to seeing Juan Soto finally make an appearance. He's become one of my favorite young players in the league, Bill. I mean, I really like the way this kid plays. And when you look at the Nationals, a team that we have talked about, I know, over the last couple of weeks, the defending World Series champs, they could use a little pop in the middle of that lineup. And so Juan Soto coming back today is a great thing.
Yeah, and it's so sad about some of the testings were negative and positive. They were saying they're inconclusive, and that's the stuff that you and I talked about weeks back. They need to get this testing done quicker. They need to get the results in, and they need to push forward with it. And Major League Baseball has billions of dollars where they can literally get this taken care of. And I'm glad Juan Soto is healthy and ready to play, and he is the dynamic young player of Major League Baseball.
Well, let's talk about another team in the National League that was hit pretty hard, Bill, the Atlanta Braves. And I think that you could make the argument that this is one of the most complete teams in the National League, if not the most complete team. I think it's a fair argument. However, they were dealt a pretty solid blow earlier this week when Mike Soroka went down with an Achilles injury, ending his 2020 season. And honestly, that type of injury makes me wonder if we see Mike Soroka back in 2021. You and I have had conversations about injuries in the past, be it Tommy John surgery. I'll tell you what, Tommy John and the way we're looking at that particular injury today, it seems like it is much further ahead than a ruptured Achilles. I mean, this could be a devastating injury, not only for this season, but for the remainder of the career of Mike Soroka. I mean, I'm really that concerned about this kid because he's phenomenal, Bill.
He's phenomenal, and that's a huge blow to that Atlanta rotation. And we know when you rupture an Achilles, you have to learn how to walk all over again. And these are things that I don't understand if everybody knows the severity of this injury. And it's really so tough to come back on this because when you're thinking of just getting up and walking, the Achilles is a major part of you. When you do that with your ankle and how much you move it, and now he ruptures it. I mean, I remember Dan Marino back in the day when he had it, and he had a boot on his foot for years after that. And as a pitcher, you're looking at how much weight you put on both those ankles, and especially the one that's going to be injured. For a young kid like that, I'm right there with you. I think it's going to be more than a year, and it's just a tough blow for a kid that's really pitching well right now.
Bill Lasky, again, our guest right now. And Bill, if we talk about the potential changes now that Atlanta, I mean, they have to find a way to replace Soroka, because one of the best young pitchers in the game. So when you start looking around the National League, I have to go to San Francisco, your neck of the woods, where they're going to have some pieces available here in the next couple of weeks. And there was talk about Atlanta and Madison Bumgarner. I mean, those talks were pretty heavy last year. I know it never came to fruition, but it seems like these two organizations have had contact with one another in the past. We could talk about Melanson. We could go down the list. It just makes sense for Atlanta to try to find a pitcher from this giant system at the moment.
You're absolutely right, and those talks have already come through the media, and Johnny Cueto's name comes up because he's healthy, and we knew Johnny a couple years ago had Tommy John. He's been pitching really well. I mean, he's having four pitches that he throws, good momentum, good life on his fastball. But another guy that's really come to fashion here is Kevin Gausman. And yesterday against the Rockies, throwing 97 miles an hour, they've said they've never seen a guy throw like that. But he has gone through some great transformation of different arm exercises, and he's really building up momentum as a starter. And that guy's been around a while. But these are two names that are definitely somebody that the Braves could look at. And Drew Smyly was another one that was throwing the ball real well, and then he ended up getting a ligament problem in his pointer finger, and he's out 11 days, but he's been really impressive in just a short time I've been watching him. So these guys are all good names, and their contracts. Of course, Cueto's a little bit more on the dollar side than those other two, but I think Atlanta's really circling the wagons around the Giants, and of course the trade deadline's at the end of this month, so we'll see if anything comes to fashion here with the Braves.
Yeah, really. I mean, you look at this rotation now for Atlanta. You thought you'd have Mike Soroka. You thought you'd have Cole Hamels. Those are two names that are gone. I mean, you're looking at Max Fried, Sean Newcomb, Kyle Wright. And when you look at the talent that this team has, and I don't know how creative you want to get. I don't know how big you want to attack. But you have a guy like a Johan Camargo, right, that in my mind would be starting at the corner infield for a number of teams in the National or American League. That's how deep this Braves team is. I just throw that name out there, Bill, as kind of an example to what they have. They have some pieces that they can move and grab someone that can make an instant impact.
And they sure do, and I think you're absolutely right. They have young talent, one of the top minor league farm systems, and the talent's there. And if you're going to go out and get an experienced starting pitching, and you said a couple guys that are injured, and I think that's a possibility when they start looking down the road here as they get closer to that 60-game finish line. And if you can pick up a young guy or a veteran guy for a, you know, we keep talking a month. We keep talking about how short this season is, but it really is. It's really a month that they need a guy to get through the month of September, and a good quality arm in the rotation is going to help them because they're going to put runs up. They're an offensive weapon. So it is going to be creative, and how these teams that start launching up to the top are starting to look at the bottom basement teams to see if there's any veteran leadership in a pitching role, especially starters, that can help them. So I'm looking for the Braves to possibly make a couple moves.
Again, our guest right now, Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher who spent his time with the San Francisco Giants and now an analyst for the squad, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. Bill, let's stick with pitching, but let's jump to the American League. Shohei Ohtani unlikely to pitch again in 2020. That's according to manager Joe Maddon. Things just did not look right for Ohtani this year, and we got to see him finally make his start. He was horrible against the Oakland A's. I mean, just really, really bad. And then he was diagnosed with a grade 1 strain, which helped stabilize the elbow this past Monday, one day after he was able to break 90 miles per hour at the end of an inning. And so when you just take a look at the timeline for Ohtani, I think it may be a fair question to ask if he ever pitches at a high level again in Major League Baseball. Yeah, I mean, he could be effective in the box and as a position player, but as a standout pitcher, do we ever see him back to that form again?
You know, I just wonder because I think they'll probably shut him down for sure because of the elbow. But I watched that game against Oakland, and he really didn't have anything. He was pushing. He was just trying to get more velocity, and it just wasn't coming out, which only means he strained that elbow again. And, of course, we knew he had a Tommy John. And you know, you always hear about the good things about a guy throwing 95 to 98. but you don't hear the bad ones that can never recover from it. And if you try to push it too fast, I think that's kind of what he wanted to do. He's such a competitor, and we saw how lights out he was when he first came in MLB. And I remember that Oakland A's game when he was blowing 96, 98, just blowing people away. And watching him again now, it's a whole different pitcher. And he was straining himself to try to make good pitches. And you can't do that as a major league pitcher because you have to be fluent. You have to be have a great routine of how you get up and throw and your motion and all the different positive things. And he just didn't have it. He just didn't look right. And I'm glad they shut him down. Now, of course, designated hitter, the guy can hit. The guy can rake. Most likely that's maybe where they're going to probably put him right now and rest that arm and see how it rehabilitation comes, see what kind of different things to get the inflammation out of the elbow and get him on the right path to strengthen it. But I don't think you're going to see him pitch this year and maybe not next year. They may shut him down another year just to get that right.
Bill, let's jump around the league, and we'll talk about some of the top-performing teams. I don't think the Yankees sitting at 8-1 really are being talked about enough. Maybe it's because we expected this, right? But then you look in the Central, you see the Minnesota Twins at 9-2. It was a team that I really liked in the offseason. Even I'm pleasantly surprised at how the Twins have gotten off. And I know there's variables that you have to consider, but anytime a team in Major League Baseball wins 8 out of 10 games, you have to talk about it. It's impressive. It's tough to do.
Boy, I tell you what, and you look at these gentle giants, Aaron Judge just looks like he is just dialed in. And they all look like they're in better shape, you know. When you look at him and Giancarlo Stanton, they just look like they're put together a little solider. Their bodies are more form fit. And these guys are just monsters in that lineup. And then Gerrit Cole, again, he's putting his two or three earned runs up and getting wins, and that's all you expect out of him. Get innings in and inning eater, and he's throwing the ball well. He'll get better as the 60 season goes. But I think they're a team to reckon with, no doubt, and they could blow the AL East completely out, and nobody will be able to catch them. And that's that team that we've been waiting to watch. You and I have talked about the Yankees for years, and they've always struggled. They struggling out of the gate many times. But this year, they are dialed in, and they are just roasting teams on the offensive side. There's no really a pitcher that can qualify to stop this offense because they're putting up so many runs, and their depth is just off the bench. They're just solid. So I think the Yankees are solid, and I'm right there with you of Minnesota. They've added a lot of pieces, even though Donaldson's on the IL. They still got enough people on that team. I think the Twins have definitely put a good, solid team together.
If we move to the NL West, and again, it's a division that you and I are very familiar with. We follow this division in depth. The Rockies are at the top right now at 8-2, and even though things are different with fans in the stands, Bill, are the Rockies at 8-2 or the Dodgers at 8-4, knowing that they have played 8 consecutive games on the road? What's more impressive in your mind?
Well, I've been watching this Rocky team, and I'm very impressed with them. And, of course, Arenado wasn't doing anything until the Giants came in town, and he's just a giant killer. And he's hit 2 home runs in 2 straight games. Blackman and Story. Story is just playing so well right now. I'm impressed with their starting pitching so far. That was a big question mark, and you and I have always talked about their bullpen not being consistent, and they've been putting numbers up. So let's just hope to see if Colorado can hold off these gentle giants of the Dodgers. And we know the Dodgers are such a strong team off the bench. Their different lineups are just so strong. And we just got to question that starting rotation, too. And Kershaw, of course, back in a rotation, threw the ball well against the D-backs the other day. But I still think the Dodgers are the premier team in the NL West. And see if the Padres or the Rockies can slow them down. And both the Padres and Rockies, I think, are playing very well in the beginning of the season. So those are really the top three teams. Arizona has just played so terrible. And the Giants came out of, you know, their first homestand 5-5, and I was surprised, but they played good baseball, but their defense is the worst. They got 16 errors already, leading the MLB in errors. The next team's only got 9, so they are playing very unusual on the defensive side, as well as throw the mental errors in there. So if they could clean that up, the Giants could be 500 team, but they got so much youth. Yastrzemski and Solano are doing so well. And you just can't, you know, think that these two guys are going to compete with the top honors of any type, average or home run hitters in the NL. But I just think when you're looking at the NL West, and you and I have always talked about this, is the Dodgers are just that too strong of a team. They're just going to keep coming at you. Hopefully the Rockies and Padres can play and slow them down a little bit.
Bill Lasky, former big league pitcher, talking baseball with us here on Drive Time Sports. Bill, before I let you go, have to let the listeners know where they can find more of your work, and we can also talk about your side project going on right now.
Yeah, at Twitter, I'm at Lasky19, jumping on that mostly on weekends now because I'm doing the KNBR post-game shows for the Giants, and you can always hit me up there on your computer and listen in there. You can always call me at 808-KNBR if anybody wants to talk baseball for San Francisco or anywhere in the NL West. And the project I'm doing is really for kids of all ages, and that's BigLeagueCoaching.pro. We have a lot of good baseball videos up. And we're going to do some summer specials coming up here the next weekend or so. So join us there and get your kids and watch a baseball video. Baseball is back. We're trying to get kids to get out in their backyards, play catch, hit a ball off a tee, and not forget about how to play baseball. And it's so easy when you got video games inside. And let's get them outside and get the gloves and bats back out. And we do a real good job at BigLeagueCoaching.pro to try to maneuver your parents and brothers and sisters to get out and put the gloves back on.
Bill, I always look forward to the conversations. I look forward to talking again next week. Thank you again for the time.
Excellent. Have a good week and be safe.
We're going to pause once again, but we do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Again, we're live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Travis Anderson. Some NBA scoreboard updates for you. The Denver Nuggets topped the San Antonio Spurs this afternoon 132-126. We get Philly over the top of Washington, 107-98. And as I reported earlier, the Jazz topping the Grizzlies, 124-115. Lakers and Thunder getting set to tip off right now. 6 o'clock tonight, Toronto-Orlando. And then the nightcap game is Brooklyn-Boston. Travis's Denver-San Antonio game is actually was extremely important. And knowing that the Jazz topped the Grizzlies, man, if there was some way that San Antonio could have pulled off that upset and topped Denver, Utah would have been in a great spot to climb into the top three.
Great spot. Yeah, San Antonio couldn't hold on. So Denver now, what, two up with, what, four to go?
Denver right now, two up on the Jazz. Yeah, four to go.
Gonna be
Utah
hard for
two
you.
And two. It is going to be tough for the Jazz to catch the Nuggets. Nuggets have now won two consecutive games. And really, they could have lost the last two as well. The Nuggets could be in danger of falling out of the top five the way they've played so far in the bubble. But that's a big win for them tonight. Lakers-Thunder is a big game for the Jazz. Probably should pay attention to this one, Jazz fans, because the Jazz have 25 losses. OKC has 25 losses. Travis, I know the Lakers wrap things up as far as the one seed is concerned, but I don't believe they have played their best basketball in the bubble just yet. The Lakers at 2-1. They can go to 3-1 tonight, and they can help the Jazz out with a win over OKC.
Yeah, we'll have to see what Frank Vogel does with the minute restrictions, if he's, you know, going to limit those with AD and LeBron or not. Or
limit them.
I say. I wouldn't want to risk that with those two guys because everything's wrapped up. For the Lakers, it's about, I guess, rhythm moving forward because, like you said, they haven't played well. But I don't want those two guys out there, you know, playing heavy minutes. So I think that those two probably won't play heavy minutes. And I think OKC is going to win that game because of that.
Yeah, here's the thing with the Lakers. They're not as deep as the Clippers. We know this. They're not as deep as the Nuggets. But they have two of the top five players in the game. And what I mean by that is if one of those two go down, they're finished.
Yeah, and you can see the difference. You know, Anthony Davis, two great games, had that clunker against the Raptors, but he played well against the Clippers, and against Utah, they had no answers. So as AD goes and LeBron goes, so will the Lakers, and that's why they've been so good, because of those two players.
Let's hop back over to Major League Baseball. We talked a lot of baseball last segment with Bill Lasky, and we talked about Mike Soroka and the impact that that is going to have on the Atlanta Braves. Not great news for the Washington Nationals. They get Juan Soto back today, and Soto already making his presence felt with an RBI. One hit, one RBI for the Nats. They're tied 1-1 right now with the Mets. Max Scherzer pitches one inning, gives up one run, and has been pulled. Now he came out of the game. There's no word yet on why he left the game after just one inning, but apparently there was doubt as far as him making the start to begin with. So perhaps there's an injury we're unaware of with Max Scherzer. That's not good news for the Nationals, though.
Not good at all. So got to get an update on him. But like you said, coming into the game, was dealing with some stuff. No word on what that was. But yeah, he's out. So fantasy owners and, you know, Nats fans, got to watch that.
Yeah, Max Scherzer, one of the best pitchers in the game. One inning today for the Nats. Again, they're tied with the Mets 1-1 going into the third inning. Major League Baseball scoreboard update. Bottom of the seventh right now, the Yankees and the Phillies are battling. I mean, Philadelphia took complete control of this game with a monstrous sixth inning where they scored six runs, but the Yankees have battled back in the bottom of the seventh to score four, and they only have one out. So things are really progressing there as well. New York and Philly, it's an old-fashioned offensive showdown right now between those two squads. It's a Major League Baseball scoreboard update for you. If we jump back over to the NBA, most interesting game of the night in your mind is what?
Probably that Thunder-Laker game, just, you know, for the West seedings. Thunder battling, you know, with the Jazz and the Rockets and the Nuggets and that. So I think that's the game. Raptors Magic really doesn't do anything for me, and Nets Celtics doesn't either.
Okay, so if you're going to watch the Raptors and the Magic, remember that Toronto has... Toronto is heads and tails above Orlando. You got to remember this. But watch the Raptors and the way they play defense. And I also want to see a close game because my biggest concern with Toronto, how do they respond when the game gets down to the wire? Who do you go to? You had Kawhi last year late. You don't have Kawhi. Is it Kyle Lowry? Who is it? Is it Siakam? Who is it for the Raptors? I want to see a close game. I want to see how Toronto responds. And then in the nightcap contest, the Boston Celtics are such an interesting team of the East because I know what this team's capable of.
They're so wishy-washy.
But they are so wishy-washy. You hit it right on the head. I mean, if it's Jason Tatum, it doesn't matter who it is. Plus, we know that Kemba Walker is not healthy, right? The Kemba Walker knee situation is something that doesn't garner enough attention.
And that's why I can't take Boston come out of the East. Because of the injury issues, you know, with Kemba. Is it going to be Toronto?
But if they're right, they have a chance.
I mean, it's them and Toronto because Milwaukee, I don't think, is coming out.
I don't trust them.
They don't play good defense, and offensively, they go in, you know, stalls where they just can't put the ball in the hoop. I think it's Toronto, and if Boston gets healthy and they get right, it's those two teams.
Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Tomorrow, we're going to talk more local. We'll be joined by Athletic Director Scott Madsen of the USU Eastern Athletic Department. We'll talk about the difference in what's going on right now on campus, and we'll look ahead to the spring sports season. That'll be on the show tomorrow. Plus, we'll talk more NBA basketball and Major League Baseball to go on top of it. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.